March 15th, Senate Resource Committee order. It's 3:40. Today, we're going to present the draft CS. And so with that, I'd like to have Mary Jackson to the table and ask for a motion to adopt the CS that's in front of us.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we use CS for Senate 305 resources identified as /Yankee as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Okay. Mary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mary Jackson. I'm staff to Senator Tom Wagoner and staff to the Senate Resources Committee. Mr. Chairman, as you know, and for the members' edification, this CS represented the involvement of a lot of individuals. Through legislative budget and audit, we worked with the consultants Jim Eason, former director of the Division of Oil and Gas, Bonnie Robson, former deputy director of the Division of Oil and Gas, Don Shepler and Marvin Kirshner of the firm Greenberg Troig, specializing in FERC and tax law issues, and LBA staff Joe Balash, my counterpart, was involved. Obviously, the presentations of Mr. Daniel Johnston and Econ One contributed. The legislative legal drafter was Jack Chenoweth. Senator Wagoner asked the producers to look at some of the language for definitions. And to that end, they turned to their group, AOGA, the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. They put together a list of items that were then gone over between Senator Wagoner and the administration, and you'll see some of those concerns that are represented in the CS. From the administration, we worked with Mr. Dan Dickinson, who's a consultant and former director of the Division of Tax, Robin Wilson, who is the current director of the Division of Tax, Rob Mintz with the AG's office, economist Roger Marks, and consultant Dr. Pedro Van Meers, of course, was also involved. This morning, we had the final draft of the CS, and we sat down with Mr. Dickinson and Ms. Wilson on the draft. There are some concerns that they expressed. I've tried to highlight them in the analysis, and as we go through it, I'll point those out. And that analysis showed the comparisons between the original bill and the CS. And Mr. Chairman, obviously with all the involvement, there are questions that you may have. I may not be able to directly answer them, but we'll certainly write them down, make a note of them, and get right back to you as soon as we can. Just for the committee's information, we did pass out a summary of the governor's bill and the Senate Resources Bill. It obviously didn't encapsulate all 30 pages. And I also passed out an Irish prayer for today. I hope everybody got it. And with that, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, I just walked right down through the section and put all of my paperwork out here on the table. Oh, and I'm sorry, on the final draft, I marked up on the sides. I made hash marks and little notes on the sides that correspond to the sectional. It helped a little bit, I thought, or at least it helped me. There were some title changes that were made. The first one was net value was inserted, and that was at the request of AOGA. The title has to necessarily reflect the changes that were made to insert Cook Inlet. That was in Section 5. There's a new surcharges section, sections 27 to 30. The title needed to reflect that. And there was a cross-reference definition that's in Section 31 to the Stranded Gas Development Act, and so that is in there in the title as well. For Section 1, there were no changes. For Section 2, there were no changes, and I'd note, again, on the side, I noted this was old Section 4. I honestly don't know why it moved from 4 up to 2, but there you have it, it did. Section 3, there were no changes. This was old Section 2. Section 4, there were no changes. This is old Section 3. In Section 5, this is a new section that was inserted. This is language to provide for the Cook Inlet Basin. In Section 6, this too is language that needs to be inserted to provide for the Cook Inlet Basin. in section 7 on page 4 is this. This is several pieces of new language. First of all, this new language for application of the Cook Inlet Basin in part, and this was also language that was requested for by both AOGRA in some part and then ASRC in another. Mr. Chairman, this morning there was a question from one of the members about this provision, and I'll direct everyone's attention to page 5, line 7. And the suggestion was to insert gas in front of that. And so that's one thing that we'll be looking at. On page 5, line 27, subsection 4, there is some revisions need to be done to this language so that it reflects that if this committee wants to go forward with it, that it's a tax on the royalty. On section 8, I'm sorry, the rest of that section is it's fine. Then on page 6, section 8, this is pertinent to the Cook Inlet Basin to maintain the current status quo. On page 6, section 9, is a slight nomenclature change. It changed upon to on. On section 10, this is old section 7, pardon me, on page 7. This is the true up. This was originally a 90%. It's now a 95% with a true up on a quarter. On page 11 is old section, excuse me, section 11 is old section 8. There were no changes. Section 12 is old section 9. It's on page 7. And these were some changes that were requested by AOGA. On page 8 is section 13. There are no changes. This is old section 10. On page 8, section 14, a new phrase was inserted, produced, but, and that has created some confusion. It needs to be rephrased so it reads produced, but either not sold or if gas is sold. So both of those are captured. It's a nomenclature. Section 15 on page 8 are references for the Cook Inlet Basin. On page 9, section 16, this is old section 12. Mr. Chairman, this was language that was drafted about 2 days ago, I believe it was, to replace the $73 million standard deduction. And since that time, you've had some concerns about the drafting, and if I would point out that both section 16 and 17, they're lumped together in this particular approach. There is a different approach that the chairman is considering, and I believe that you just passed some of that information out to the members.
Yeah, everybody's got that.
On page 10, line 11, and I'm sorry, this note wasn't in there, but page 10, line 11 is a percentage that needs to reflect the tax percent. That's why that was underlined and set aside for you to look at. The next change was over on page 12. On page 12, line 11, is a date change. This was July 1, 2006. The effective date of this bill is April 1, 2006, so there will be these changes throughout the bill. On page 12, line 21, 3A and B are new. We went over these revisions with administration 2 days ago, I believe it was, and there was a question from the administration as to what would be the ownership interest, and so there was an attempt to clarify that, and that is in B.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
On page 11.
Oops.
Section F. Is that new? Line 14, page 11.
Yeah, under standards. I beg your pardon. Yes, that is new.
Yeah.
I will correct my notes.
So do we
need... Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just the
Senator Stedman.
The format today, are we just going to just kind of drop down through this bill, and then are we going to back up to the top and then go down through it?
Through the chair, Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, my understanding is we'll go through it, and whatever questions you may have, I'll jot them down, and we'll get whatever answers you need back in. The schedule for the rest of the committee for the next 4 days is tomorrow is administration comes in, so I would expect some of the questions you may have may be able to be answered by them tomorrow. The majors will be in tomorrow as well. On Sunday, the other stakeholders will be here. On Monday is public hearing, and then on Tuesday, the committee goes through the full bill itself.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I
understand.
I've got this bill about halfway read from the time I got it today with all the other things going on. Time I've gotten here, so there's several things in through here that I think we need to touch bases on.
Okay.
This one item, page 11, which is I didn't get much further. I think I got to page like 13. I wasn't aware that like line 15, that whole item of the commissioner repurchasing these transferable tax credits. So it's new to me, and not only I don't know where it came from, but you know, I personally not very comfortable with the state acting as the broker on these. So,
through the chair, Senator Stedman, I did not have this on any of my revisions, and obviously walked right by it. My best suggestion, and I expect this is what happened, is this probably got picked up by the drafter from the House version.
If I could, Mr. Chairman,
we didn't even.
No, it was not in any of mine.
Five discussions on this, and we weren't going to go to that.
Right. On page 10, line 18, talks about a person's tax liability. I'm not, and that's page 10, line 18, I'm not sure that's the proper verbiage, shouldn't it be? We're talking about corporate here?
Well, person is corporate, is all entities.
Okay.
It's a universal in statute.
That was the original bill.
Mr. Chairman, on
Senator Stevens.
Thank you. Page 12, lines. Section 2, beginning on line 16, is also an issue that I've seen that paragraph in a couple of different spots. But I don't think it was in the other one.
Page 12, line 16. Deal with abandonment.
Abandonment.
Okay.
That is the new.
That's new.
Yeah. Yeah, the administration's bill didn't address that.
So.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stevens, you're correct. That is new, and that is not on this page, but it is on the other page.
Yeah.
I'll make sure it gets on this one, too. Mr. Chairman, do you want me to continue?
Yes.
I'm picking up from page 12, line 16. That is new. This is issue in the abandonment. The three...
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Stabenow.
Could we have, people are at home trying to follow this, could we have an explanation of what we're doing? I don't think anybody on planet Earth can follow us. I mean, we're racing through this thing.
Basically, what we're doing, we're comparing the original bill from the administration to our working draft.
I understand that, Mr. Chairman, but I think we should stop and say this paragraph is doing this for this reason, so people at home could follow what we're doing a little bit. I mean, I think we're not, heck, we've got a 30-page bill here, and we'll be done here in 10 minutes at this rate. I mean,
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I certainly can do that. Let me also let you know that the PDF files on this, on the summary, and on the analysis were also sent out this afternoon, and they're out now on the internet. So I tried to get them out as quickly as possible.
Okay.
And that's also part of why the committee's not going to take action on it till Tuesday. That gives you and the public ample time, and the public is on Monday. But then let me back up there, Mr. Chairman, to page 12, line 16, subsection 2. This was concerns regarding abandonment. And for the benefit of the public, it reads, for an extended period of disuse, dismantlement, removal, surrender, or abandonment of a well, facility, pipeline, platform, or other structure, or for the restoration of a lease, field, unit, area, or body of water in conjunction with an extended period of disuse, dismantlement, removal, surrender, or abandonment of a facility described in this paragraph. B, and this is, I'm sorry, this is under the subsection where the producer or the explorer may not take a tax credit for these topics. The producer, number three, immediately below that, is new. And they may not take a tax credit for a pipeline, facility, other asset, or service regulated as to tariffs, fees, or charges by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, Regulatory Commission of Alaska, or similar regulatory body. And I stop here, Mr. Chairman. The concern has been expressed about the term similar regulatory body, that it needs to be specifically referenced as to what was intended there, not just be, for example, a DEC or a DOT type regulatory body. So the language changes that we're working on with the administration on that right now. Subsection B under that same number was an asset in which the state directly or indirectly holds an ownership interest equal to or greater than 5%. For the purpose of making a determination of ownership interest under this subparagraph, the state's ownership of an interest in the land on which the asset is located shall be excluded.
So on, if I could, Mr. Chairman, on this section B, can I guess as we go through this process, then we're going to, this kind of stands out. So are we going to go into a further discussion on its inclusion or potential exclusion?
Well, we're just presenting the bill today. Amendments
will
come later. You know. And the administration will address that tomorrow.
Okay.
Further on page 21.
Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry, excuse
Senator
me.
Senator Stevens.
Ms. Jackson, are we going to, some instances in the bill we've had reference to the origin of the suggestion. Are we going to get that throughout, or is it just sort of one only when it comes from AOGA or the quarterly? Some of the changes, we don't quite know.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I can sure go back and do that. I knew that the AOGA was an issue, and I can make that available to you. No problem.
Thank you.
I haven't done it for now, but I can sure go back and make that.
Yeah.
on page... Page 24 of a similar regulatory body, I just explained that. On section 17, on page 13, this section 17 is tied to the current proposal for the to replace the $73 million. What it does is, if you look down on page 13, line 31, it deletes testing, stimulation, or completion. This is an old statute that authorizes exploration tax credits. Testing, stimulation, or completion were not allowed as exploration tax credits. The new $73 million concept provided for a lot more credits on exploration, and so this was put in there. If the new proposal on $73 million goes forward, this section will come out. So it was a whole lot of work about something that's probably coming out.
A whole lot to do about nothing.
Yeah. Well,
from okay. The entire section?
Section 17, correct. It just, if you look at right at the bottom, what it did was, it's a not. It does not allow for testing, stimulation, or completion as exploration credits. This bill would have allowed it to be exploration credits.
Excuse me just a minute. We've been joined online by Senator Dyson. And for your information, Senator Dyson, we're currently talking about Section 17 on page 13.
Thanks, Tom.
Go ahead, Mrs. Jackson.
Thank you. On page 14, section 18 is old section 13. There were no changes. On page 14, section 19 is old section 14. There were no changes. On page 15 is section 20. This is old section 15. There are no changes. On section 21, this is old section 16. And there are some slight changes in double I. And I don't remember where that source was, Senator Stevens. I'll go back and look. On section 22, on page 16, there were no changes. This is old section 17. Section 23 is old section 18. Section 24 is old section 19. If you'll note on line 26 of that section, one word was added, or, and there's some concern about what that word means and whether or not it needs to be in here, because this section 24 references subsection A. Subsection B of that same statute has a slightly different set of constrictions. So administration pointed this out today.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stedman.
What line was that or on?
On line 26. On page 16, section 20, section 25 is old section 20. This is language regarding the process of valuation. There was some slight nomenclature revisions we went through with the department, and it eliminated royalty settlement agreements as a method of valuation. And that came from Ms. Robson and Mr. Eason. On page 17, is old section 21, new section 26. There were some slight changes in subsection A, very slight. On page 18, line 5, there were just some slight formatting changes that were done by the drafter. It says for purposes of administration instead of for administration. I mean, just very slight changes. On page 18, line 2 and line 20, that now states 1/48th. Previously, it stated 1/72nd. That is the clawback provisions that were 6 years, hence the 72. Now it's 4 years, hence the 48. On page 18, line 26 is the new date, April 1st. On page 19, line 4, I can't find where this was anywhere. I think it's just a typo from A. I don't believe it's supposed to be in there. On page 19, line 16 through 17, this was an inclusion from AOGA, and it needs to be revised. It states right now, including the operator or a working interest owner. It needs to be revised to read, include a producer that is the operator. This was some changes that admin and AOGA came up with. On page 19, line 29, capital assets. This was something that came up this morning when we were going over the bill with the administration. They have recommended some better definitions for what are capital assets, and that will be forthcoming. On page 20, line 6, is we need to delete capital assets. That again came up this morning from the review with the administration. On page 20, line 7, it did read royalty payments, inserted as for oil and gas, and those were changes requested by AOGA. On page 20, line 22, this is new language that was requested by AOGA regarding indemnification, and it reads, amounts paid to indemnify the state, the exclusion provided by this paragraph does not apply to the costs of obtaining insurance or a surety bond from a third-party insurer or surety. This is under the definition of direct costs. And under the definition of direct costs, it does not include amounts paid to indemnify the state.
Senator Stedman?
I thought we had some conversations or some testimony a while back about some of the large producers are self-insured and some of the smaller guys write a check. And the guy that writes the check would like to have that recognized as a legitimate expense of doing business.
The amount of $370,000, I think it was.
Correct. And he referred to that as real money.
Yeah.
I make a note of it.
Is that, I mean, where did Kay come from, or?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, this was language that AOGA had requested and that was reviewed by administration supported. So I will get back and find that out. I believe there's another answer to your question, but I want to make sure of it.
Yeah, the $370,000 amount came up in conversation, testimony by a couple of the smaller independents. And Senator Seekins and I've had a couple of discussions about that. Maybe we need to look at that overall as a problem. I don't say it's an exorbitant amount. That's a large amount of money for an independent to put up front and not retain any value from. So either maybe credits there or maybe setting up a state pool where 50% would be reimbursable or something. I don't know. And we'll take a look at that later.
Continuing on from page 20, line 22, subsection L is new language, and it reads, surcharges levied under AS 4355-201 or 4355-300. Those sections references the surcharges for the 470 funds. It The effect of it is it says that they are not direct costs. On page 20, line 26, costs of abandonment are involved here, and this is under I and II. And the source, this again, this is cost of abandonment are not direct costs, and I'm sorry, and the source of L and M are from working, Senator Wagner working with Mr. Eason and Ms. Robson.
Can we stop there a minute? I just want to see if Senator Dyson's following has any questions.
He's offline right at the moment.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Ms. Jack.
Okay, and then on page 21, line 8, N, this is N, and O is new language for clarification of what it costs, and the source, the source from this were our tax consultants, Marvin. Yes, Marvin Kirshner. On page, and I'm sorry, you want me to read it for the public?
Or can you just paraphrase it?
Sure. Essentially what it is it clarifies what our costs, and it's as it says, in a transaction that is not at arm's length, that is not an arm's length transaction for accounts that have not been paid, to the extent that those amounts exceed fair market value, the provisions of L of this section apply to a determination. So it goes back to L. And O does the same things. It references back to L and M of that subsection. 21, page 21, line 16 is, there was a, page 21, line 16, there was a, formatting revisions in, I'm sorry, it's further on down on line 16 through 25. There was some slight formatting revisions. On page 21, line 20, there's a new subsection B. And I'm sorry, I don't remember who was the source of this one. It says that a producer's lease expenditures must be adjusted by subtracting any payment or credit the producer receives for, one, the use by another person or a production facility, A, in which the producer has an ownership interest, or B, and this is new, that is subject to a management agreement that provides for the producer to receive a management fee determined in whole or in part on the income or gross revenue earned by the production facility. That's it for page 21. On page 22, line 1 is the new date, April 1st, 2006. On page 22, line 11, this is the new transition expenditures section. It limits it. The original bill was a look back of 6 years. This reduces it to a look back of 3 years with a 75%, then a 50%, and then a 25% for each of those years, payable out in four-year terms. If you recall, we talked earlier, that's where the 148th, the four-year instead of the 172nd, came in. So it's 25% for expenses incurred after January 1, 2003, through January 1, 2004, 50% for expenditures from January 1, 2004 to 2005, and 75% for expenditures incurred on or after January 1, 2005 and before April 1, 2006. There is still the same subsection 2 on that is still the $40 a barrel limitation, which was in the original bill. Page 20.
Senator Stebbins.
Mr. Chairman, do you want to mention the other concept that's on the table to replace this section?
Well, there isn't a concept on the table yet on this.
Well, not on this table.
We have talked to a consultant, Pedro, Dr. Van Meers, and he's going to forward to us a concept that gives credits to the current producers, and the credits will be for increased expenditures for production. And I hate to get into any more of the details because we don't have the body of the formula in front of us, but it's basically going to be a reward for continued production and continued investment in production, and it's going to be based on a formula that allows them to get credit for that look back, but to get the credit they're going to have to expend so much additional funds each year to reach back and get some of that credit. So it's a real incentive for them to keep spending money to increase their production or maintain the level of production we have, and at the same time they can recoup some of that look back. And if that happens, this, yeah, if we do that, this section will come out and we'll replace it with that new concept. Senator Stedman?
If I could, Mr. Chairman, just to add on a little bit of clarification, the issue at hand is to try to double the expenditures by the industry in the North Slope area over the next 5 years to stem the decline in production. And from roughly $1 billion to get it up to around $2 billion is ballpark number.
That's
a concept.
Yeah. That depends on whether the companies are willing to spend it or
they may
spend half of it.
Or any of it.
But we should have that information fairly soon. Dr. Van Meer said he would write it up, and that I think Mr. Dickinson was going to put it into language, draft language. Did you get that message yet? Or
I just did, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Jackson. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Continuing then, as I said, page 22, line 27-2 is the subsection that's the same language as was in the original bill. Continuing on to page 23, line 4 is a small change. It used to be such, and it's now the. This also, in the body of this, it deletes previous subsection I, which was the old $73 million standard deduction. So as you go through it, the new version I is the old K. The new J is the old L. The new K is the old M. And on page 23, line 29, there is a new section inserted here, several of them, L, M, and N.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jackson.
Senator Jackson.
No, I don't want to be.
Pardon me. Well, believe me, pardon me.
I don't want to be.
Maybe under the the previous comment, the removal of section I, we can discuss the insert.
Oh.
And the replacement of the $73 million.
Yeah. Basically, what the insert does, it isn't an insert, it'd be amendment to the working draft.
basically what it does for the public's information, it allows a holiday season, allowing the first 4,000 barrels of oil equivalent produced each day during seven consecutive years to be exempted from taxes. And we feel that will give us a real good incentive for additional exploration and putting fields, not only exploration, but it's a real incentive for putting fields into production. And that's one of the big concepts of this bill, is provide incentives to get additional production off the slope, even though it's from smaller fields. So we think this is a pretty good way to incentivize it. The new language goes further, and this equals or exceeds, it equals about 10,220,000 barrels or of oil or oil equivalent over the 7 years. So that's, and this is available for those of you in the audience that want to read it. It's available out on the bench here.
And by my, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
Just a couple of things. It's for new fields brought on production. It's for only for new fields brought on production.
After the effective date.
After the effective
of the
date.
Bill, yeah.
And it could be listed as an infield allowance for cost recovery, which is a common use of amongst oil producing regions to have a cost recovery period for the investment. And it does terminate after 7 years, I believe, doesn't it?
7 year sunset, yeah.
Thank you.
Automatic. And we thought that was fairly generous, and some of the old incentives went, there was no termination on them, so I guess we'll know in 7 years if it worked or not. Go ahead, Mrs. Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm continuing on still with that same section on page 23, line beginning at line 29. There are new subsections L, M, and N that were inserted. And I will double check, but my recollection is that those also came from the tax consultants. The new O, and this is over on page 25 now, new subsection O, and I'm sorry, Senator Stedman, I beg your pardon. For the public that's listening to this, this is a substantial section that deals with Internal Revenue Code sections. It's really very boring tax attorney stuff. So,
if I could,
although you like,
can we back up just a minute? I was trying
being
to
being distracted by me.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I was being distracted. Could you back up and repeat that, and then respond to that one?
Don't say boring, please.
Okay, I won't. All right. Mr. Chairman, on page 23, from the bottom of page 23, right. Subsection L. L, right. L and M is in the middle of the page on 24, and then N is at the very bottom of the page on 24. Those are all new sections that were recommended by the tax attorney, our consultant. The on page 25 on line 18 is O. This is old N section, and there were also some revisions to the section that were requested by AOGA and concurred with by the administration. On page 25, section 27 is sections 27, 28, 29 and 30 are all dealing with the surcharge. Senator Wagner had requested this information from a gentleman who, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name right off the bat.
He's up in the office.
Mike.
The gentleman from DEC, and I might further state that before this goes to finance, or maybe when it gets into finance, I'm requesting a report to see just where those funds have been used and how they've been used. Because there's some, I've had some people come to my office and say that a lot of those funds are being expended for items that that this fund was not intended to be used on. So we're going to find out. Senator Stevens?
Okay, can we go back a couple?
What page?
Back to 23. Mary, you Ms. Jackson, you mentioned that sections L... 23L, M, and N came from the tax attorney?
I believe that was correct, yes, sir, Ms. Senator Stevens, through the chair.
Well, I mean, all the sections that they reference in terms of the arm's length transaction and in terms of the direct cost under D2M and D2L, those sections were inserted by Eason and Robson.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I'll go back and double check it, but my recollection is otherwise, but I may be wrong.
No, the tax attorney may have suggested that the sections that you're referring to under L, M, and N, but if you look, for instance, on page 24, line 21, direct cost under D2M, that was an addition that you said came from Eason and Robson. So the tax accountants, the tax lawyers, and our consultants obviously have seen this before we have, which isn't unusual. Thank you.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, what I will do, and for the rest of the members as well, I will take this. There's a couple of changes that are already going to need to be made. We've identified them. And I will go through each of these and identify the source of the change for you. I can show you the original. You can probably see why it got a little confusing as to who did what. Everybody had a color.
It's pretty simple to determine where the language come from the lawyer or not.
We were at page 25, section 27. This is the new surcharge rates. That's 27. Section 28 on page 26. Section 29 on page 26, and section 30 on page 26. For the edification of the public that's listening, the current surcharge rate is 3 cents and 2 cents. This bill takes the 2 cent factor and drops it down to one, and it takes the 3 cent factor and increases it to five. The result is that instead of a nickel, it becomes 6 cents. And Senator Wagner has asked for a report. I don't know. We don't know if we're going to get it before it goes from this committee, but the intent was to pass it along to the next committee of referral, Senate Finance.
Senator Stevens.
And the intent of the 6 cents, the use, end use of it, is bill response?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that's the 470 funds, and it's one of each.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I've been discussing some ability to be able to use the deposits in that fund as a method to insure against catastrophic drilling concerns, where we might be able to reduce the cost for small companies to be able to drill for oil without having to put out tremendous upfront insurance fees, where larger companies, because they're of their financial statement, can self-insure. So looking at a way to to utilize that as a, as a, as a sort of de facto bonding fund.
And carry that a little further, I asked last year, I think it was, I asked why we couldn't separate oil and gas, and I guess it's kind of a simple answer after I thought about it. You never know where you're going to get oil or gas. And so they've got to cover it for oil exploration and gas at the same level. So.
Mr. Chairman, continuing on the surcharge issue, just to make sure that, that this is pointed out, was that the original bill allowed for the 470 surcharge to be taken as an expense. This bill does not allow that. Excuse me, this CS does not allow that. I note that old section 29 was deleted. This was roped up in the surcharge section, so we kind of dropped a section. I actually started to do a section 1, section 2, and tried to show changes throughout, and I was not able to do that because there were so many changes that were made among the different sections. Continuing, Mr. Chairman, section 31 is on page 26. This is old section 30, and there were no changes. On page 27, this section 32 is old section 31, and there were no changes. On page 28, section 33 is old section 32, and there were no changes. On page 28 again is section 34. This was old section 33, and there were no changes. Still on page 28, section 35, this is old section 34. There are several changes because the repealer statutes have changed as a result from the first bill to the CS. On section 35, this is old section, section 36 is old section 35. And this changes the date to April 1st, 2006. The rest of it is the same. There's just new section numbers that were referenced there because we had to do some conforming language. On section 37, which is on page 29, those are the transitional provisions. We have a date change on lines 6 and 7, April 1st, 2006. And also is a change to 9 months. I'm sorry, there's another date change on line 17 of that page. And on line 19 is a change to 9 months of the calendar year. It was 6 months. And this is the result of the change in the, which one is this one? I honestly don't remember now. I think that this was the change for the TrueBack, but I'm not positive.
TrueUp.
The true up, I'm sorry. Clawback and true up.
Senator Elms? Mary, I think on line 17, page 29, it should be April 1st instead of just April 2000.
Oh, you're right. Through the chair. Thank you, Senator Elton.
It all looks like a lot one, doesn't it?
Yeah. On still on page 29, line 21 is a change date again is April 1st. Line 25 is the 9 month time frame again instead of the 6 month. And on D is April 1st time change again. Section 38 on page 29 is old section 37. There are no changes. On page 30 of the bill, section 39, this is the transitional language. Oops, excuse me, section 39, these are the revisor's instructions. And it, obviously, they have a change to reflect the revisions that are in the CS. Page, the last page again, section 40 is old section 39 with the effective dates of all of the sections. And section 41 and 42 are the effective date sections. Mr. Chairman, I will, as I say, go back through and identify the source of the changes on these bill, on these revisions. For everybody, and I'll have it by tomorrow morning, I hope.
Questions?
Mr. Chair, just...
Senator Alton?
Just a comment. I want to thank you and staff. I mean, when I got the copy of the bill this afternoon, I thought I was going to get a copy of the bill, and it certainly made it much easier in the short period of time before the meeting to have the summary sheet and the first stab at a sectional, and I just want to express my appreciation to staff.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. That's that was what we had on the agenda today. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., we'll hear from the administration, and then as soon as the administration is done on the bill, the majors, ConocoPhillips, BP, and ExxonMobil. Then Sunday at 1 p.m., we'll hear from the Wars and Independents. Monday at 3:30, regular meeting time, we'll hear from the public. We'll have a public public testimony. On Tuesday, we'll have committee, we'll proceed with the bill. There will be amendments, I'm sure, over the next couple of days. I hope everybody will turn their amendments in to my office by 2:30 on Tuesday. And the way our schedule is set now, it provides for the committee to deal with the bill on Tuesday, and if need, again on Wednesday, before we forward it on to finance. And I think that pretty well concludes. Somebody got anything else for the good of the body, good of the order?
With that, I'll join the meeting.